Anyone who's ever taken time to read through their Bible is bound to have a few questions. And on today's First Friday edition of The Connection, Skip Heitzik takes some time to answer those questions. Here's a sample.
The death of God, Jesus Christ is God, the death of God has to be the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world. But it turned out it was the best thing that happened, because it brought salvation to millions and millions and millions of people. So now we're looking at something that's horrible, the crucifixion. And we celebrate it. We have communion. We worship Christ for shedding blood and dying and death. Why do we celebrate it? Because what was considered the very worst thing has become the very best thing.
Welcome to The Connection, First Friday Edition, with Skip Heitzik. Today, we're going to take a short break from our current series, Minor Prophets in the Major Leagues, as we spend some time with Skip in studio. You know, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, Skip hosts a radio show called Connection Q&A. During this program, Skip answers questions about the Bible, being a Christian, and about the topics he's been teaching on at Calvary of Albuquerque. Now, you can hear the show online at connectionradio.org. And today on Connection Q&A, we're going to share some of the questions Skip was asked recently during one of these shows. But before we get started, if you've ever had questions to what life was like during the days of Jesus, we have a new DVD that examines an artifact that helps answer some of those questions. Here's Skip with more.
The Jesus Boat Revealed is a new documentary that I host. It's a remarkable story of the only ancient boat ever discovered in the Sea of Galilee. I'm joined on the DVD by Pastor Chuck Smith, Jay Sekulow, and several experts on nautical archaeology. Here's more information on the Jesus Boat Revealed DVD.
In 1986, a drought caused the waters of the Sea of Galilee to recede, revealing one of the great New Testament archaeological discoveries.
Here we have something that takes us right back to the time of Jesus.
There, in the dried-up seabed, two brothers discovered the remains of a boat. A boat that dated back to the time of Jesus Christ.
We couldn't ask for more. We got here a boat from the times of Jesus. I mean, it's something the whole world is waiting for.
As this boat slipped beneath the waves of the Sea of Galilee, the nation Israel was sliding off the pages of history. The Jesus Boat Reveal takes you on a video journey of these stories, an ancient boat that would not stay buried, and the nation Israel that could not remain lost. Skip Heitzig takes you on a journey through history and reveals how the past and present collide in this remarkable discovery. This DVD is available for just $25. The Jesus Boat Revealed is a one-hour documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring Franklin Graham.
For the whole Arab world to turn on them, and very few people stood with them at that time.
Tim LaHaye, Ehud Barak, and many other expert interviews. Order today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Order the Jesus Boat Revealed documentary when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And you can find out more about that DVD documentary at our website, connectionradio.org. You know, one of the most exciting things about the Bible is that it addresses just about any issue we'll face in life. And Skip Heitzik demonstrates that today as he shares biblical answers to some tough questions on this First Friday edition of The Connection.
Take the time.
So now, let's go in studio with Skip Heitzik and Connection Q&A. And Skip, our first question is off the internet at a YouStreamer that wants to know, despite knowing the omnipresence of God, why it sometimes feels that God has abandoned him, especially in difficult times.
That's a good question. It's a very common sentiment. You're not alone. We've all wondered at some time. Even the greatest, godliest, sincerest, believer has had difficulty and they've wondered why, how could God allow this? Maybe God isn't with me. I prayed. What? And so we're left with what is. But there's a very important word in this question, and it's feel. Even without sin, sometimes I feel God has abandoned me. The feeling this person has is in conflict with the fact. Feeling, God has abandoned me. Fact, God hasn't abandoned me. How do I know that? Feeling is subjective. Fact, objective truth from the Word of God says He'll never leave me or forsake me, ever. I gave several examples tonight with Paul in prison, several times when he was on the ship, when he was in Corinth, after he left Athens. He felt like, I'm alone. God said, I'm with you. Don't be quiet. Keep going. I'm with you. So we have all of these situations where people felt one way, but they weren't that way. They felt God had abandoned them. In fact, God hasn't abandoned them. So what do we do in times where we feel this way? Well, we can't trust our feeling, can we? Because it's an emotional roller coaster.
Right.
Sometimes we may feel close to God. Sometimes we may feel far from God. So when you have faith in conflict with feeling, or better yet, feeling in conflict with fact, we have to rely on the fact. When I'm faced with things I don't know, I must cling to those things I do know. So, you know, you have something that is contrary to the fact. And here's why it is developed. I'm reading this, and I'm reading a lot into this. I can see the pain involved here. But a lot of Christians have what I'm going to call unrealistic expectations of God. You've heard of four spiritual laws? I think there's four spiritual flaws. And I think one of the flaws is, if I'm a Christian, I'll be protected from bad stuff. It's a flaw people have. So they go, I've come to Christ now. And so that means God's going to keep all the bad stuff away from me and the disappointment away from me. And I'm always going to feel good. And I'm always going to feel close to God, and always on a cloud. And I remember as a brand new believer, it was like the most awesome experience of freedom I'd ever felt. But something disappointing happened, and that was a few months later. Actually, it was a few weeks later. It didn't take very long, but that sort of protective bubble floating down the street and getting in the car with and going to church and going to the grocery store, it didn't last. It popped. Life sort of returned to normal, and now I didn't have the feeling anymore of God's presence. I didn't have the feeling of this is totally cool. I had to live by faith, and I read a text, "For we live by faith and not by sight." Sight is the physical apprehension. You might put feeling in that category. So that really set me free that God wants to take me from a whole new level of relying on my emotions, what I feel, versus relying on the fact. That's where my faith enters into the Word of God. And I say, I know this to be true, not because I feel it or don't feel it, because He said it. And so we have to break ourselves of the four spiritual flaws. There's a lot more than that, but that's one of them. It's an unrealistic expectation. We just expect that now that I'm a Christian, well, but I mean, imagine if that were true. What if you as a Christian, now that you're a Christian, bad stuff doesn't happen to you? Or you're never going to get depressed, or people you love are never going to die, or you're never going to have deep questions and wonder and have a crisis of self-importance and all the things that we go through. If you never had that, then people would come to Christ solely for that Band-Aid. It seems, on the other hand, as I read Christian history, that the body of Christ has suffered a lot, persecution in a lot of countries, much more than we experience here. And that has served to deepen a character that could not be shaped any other way except for those bad times, dark times. So then my question would be, so maybe our problem is consigning something as bad when it's really not bad. Can I say that suffering is bad when it drives me to Christ and makes me closer and more godly? Can I say that pain and hardship is bad if it makes me better? Maybe it's actually good. So, and I'll add something to that little bit of philosophy, because I believe it's biblical, and I believe that God lives what He says. That whole thing is true in Christ. You know, if you look at the death of Christ, the death of God, Jesus Christ is God, the death of God has to be the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world. But it turned out it was the best thing that happened, because it brought salvation to millions and millions and millions of people. So now we're looking at something that's horrible, the crucifixion, and we celebrate it. We have communion, we worship Christ for shedding blood and dying and death. Why do we celebrate it? Because what was considered the very worst thing has become the very best thing. So let's apply that to our lives. Could it be when we're going through hard times, as this very honest YouStreamer is writing, could it be that we should now stop calling it bad and disappointing and say, God's going to make this so cool?
Skip, a follow-up question to this would be when David said, where can I go from your spirit, from your presence? Could you follow up a bit with that?
Well, it was a rhetorical question that David asked. He said, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? He didn't ask that because he needed the information. He wasn't scratching his little, kingly head going, man, I wonder if there's actually a place I could leave and God isn't there. He didn't believe that from any of his writings, obviously. He sometimes acted sinful and ran from God. But here's David in his right mind, in his godly mind. And the question is a rhetorical question. And he asked that. And then it's followed by a rational conclusion. God is there and there and there. That can't separate me from God. That can't separate me from God. And that can't. And that's important because sometimes people get into situations and they go, God certainly isn't there. God, I haven't felt God. Where is God? God isn't present right now in my life. I'm not experiencing him. And briefly stated, God is everywhere present. In his fullness, in his power, there is no place that you can escape from him.
And that can be a comforting thought, especially in difficult times. Or it could be a disconcerting thought if you're in sin or you're thinking maybe I shouldn't be doing this thing. God is here and does know what's going on, right?
And you notice that people, okay, they may not rationally sit down and go, okay, I'm going to now try really hard to see if there's a place I can hide from God. But what they'll do is they will leave church. They will not be around their Christian friends when they're not living right. They'll never want to bring up the Bible. They'll hide their Bible because it's convicting even to see it around the house.
Right.
If a friend invites them to church, oh, I'd love to, but I'm busy. They don't want anything that will remind them of any kind of standard or righteous attribute of God because it brings a sense of conviction to them. So in a sense, they're living in darkness, walking in darkness, not in the light. If you took a criminal who is guilty and has committed crimes against the United States, if he flies to some foreign refuge, South America or wherever you can get away with it now and live, he may sense peace. Oh, this is great. I've run from the government. But he's not free. He can never enter our borders. The minute his passport enters United States security or international security for that matter, it's flagged, and he will be picked up and put to justice. So he might have a sense and a feeling, just like an unbeliever, say, well, I never really worry about God, I'm living without God. Well, no, they're not. God sees, records everything, and ultimately one day they will stand before him as the judge of their life.
Well, thanks, Skip. You're listening to a special First Friday edition of The Connection as Skip Heitzig answers your questions. Questions taken from a weekly program Saturday evenings from 8 till 9 Mountain Time that you can hear on our website, connectionradio.org. Tune in this week, and we now continue with Connection Q&A and a question from CJ.
My question is, we were talking about the president of Iran flying over the Arab world kind of stirring up trouble. Historically, I understand that the Persians and the Arabs have had their share of conflicts, and there's a lot of turmoil between them. What's the connection between them since historically? Can you kind of shed some light on that? Why there's such an interest of the Persians going up against Israel, against the Arabs?
Well, okay, yeah, you're very good. The Persians, for a long time, ruled the world. Under Cyrus, the Medo-Persian Empire, there was the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, etc. They controlled the world. Alexander the Great retaliated against them, etc. But now the thing that is drawing the Arabs and the Persians together, and I'm glad you made a distinction because they are genetically different. And they are heretically different. An Arab and a Persian is not the same person. Same with an Egyptian. But there is a unifying force between Persia, between much of Russia, between most of Egypt and the Arab-speaking world, as well as the Farsi or Persian world, and that is Islam. The sword of Islam has a thorn in its side and that is the existence of the state of Israel. Based on the teachings of Muhammad in the Quran and based upon the history of relations between these two groups of people, they don't like the existence. Many deny the existence, and many of these organizations are sworn to the annihilation of the state of Israel. So you've got a religious system that binds them together, and at the core of that religious system is the denial of the state of Israel, or the swearing of its destruction. So that's what binds them together.
Well, thanks for your call, CJ. This is Connection Q&A, and Skip, we have Melissa with a question for you.
My question is kind of, as I'm seeing a difference in my lifestyle, I have a 1.5-year-old. I'm a single mother, and I've noticed some behavioral issues starting up with my son, and it seems like I'm working like 3 and 4 jobs right now just trying to maintain my house and make sure there's a roof over our head. And with that, I feel like I'm alienating him more, and I've had more frustration and everything else, and I'm not knowing how to juggle that to put in to make, you know, God the priority here when I have all these things that I have to do, and I'm trying to find a way to handle that.
I'm so glad you called, Melissa. You got a 1.5-year-old. Is it a little boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
Little boy. And let me just kind of back up a little bit, because the Bible does have principles that are for everyone. You know, when the Bible is written, like we read tonight about Joshua, every passage of Scripture isn't to everyone, but it's for everyone. So there's principles in it. And here we have a principle of a father standing up, talking about his family to a nation. But it also applies principally to not just fathers, but to everybody who can make a choice, and God will honor that choice. I know that as a single mother, it's more difficult than if you have a family unit. But, you know, let's suppose another scenario. Let's say you have a mother and a father, but you have a father who's violent or detached and aloof, and the mother who's trying to hold it together. They live in the same home. You know, you've got that nuclear family, but they're not functioning very well. You got an even worse dynamic than even a single mother who's committed to raising that child in a godly way. And Melissa, you do have a family outside of your family. It's called the church. The body of Christ is one of the mechanisms God gives to strengthen and reinforce what happens at home. It won't take the place of what you can do, but it can certainly come alongside and help. And there's counselors, there's pastors, there's Sunday school teachers that can make a huge difference in your parenting skills and in the life of your child. I wrote a book a few years back on relationships, and I did a chapter just on the single parent. And more than that, instead of buying a book, you can get a CD or a free MP3 where we did a series on the family, and I took a whole hour-long session just on how to be a single parent effectively and how God can use the time you spend to really craft a quality child into an adult. And I think you'll find some biblical principles there. Even the principles tonight are for everybody. You know, if you decide what you're going to do with the time that you have, and then you use extended family members or church friends or even Sunday school teachers to help reinforce that love that you have for God and love that you have for your son, it'll go a long way. And that child will grow up secure and in love with God.
And you're listening to a special First Friday edition of The Connection. This will be our final call today in the program, Skip. It comes from Lloyd.
Now, my question is, what's going to happen, or what has happened to the people that were trying to follow the Word of God before Jesus Christ came to this earth?
Yeah, good question, Lloyd. It's an often asked question, by the way. What happens to people before Christ? How can salvation be granted? How is a person saved prior to Christ? Well, I'll answer it simply, by faith. It's the same way they're saved now. But their faith was anticipatory. Ours is different. Ours is past and fulfilled in Christ. But in the Old Testament, it took faith to bring an animal. And when people wanted to come to know God, there was only one God. There weren't all the myriads of gods and goddesses people believed in. And so when they wanted to come into relationship or covenant is a better term with the God of Israel, Yahweh, they would proselytize. They would go through the ritual of circumcision if they were male. They would profess an allegiance and keep the law. They would offer sacrifices. And all of those were acts of faith, believing that God would see that as acts toward being loyal to Him, a heart turned toward Him. But it's the same way. It was by faith that those things were meaningful. But Paul says something very important when he speaks to the Athenians, those people who lived in Athens in the New Testament, and he noted that it was a city filled with pagan idolatry. There were gods in every corner. There were statues and icons and idols to all these different gods. And he says, truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So he seems to indicate that at that time, God was dealing with the world a bit differently than he does now. And now he tells the church to preach the gospel to everyone, because salvation only comes through Christ. So while there was a way to come into covenant relationship with the only true God through the only religion that God ever gave to man, that was the Judaistic system, Paul says that in the Old Testament, because there were all these various belief systems, that God overlooked the ignorance, but now there's no excuse. Now there is the Son has come, Jesus has come, and the Word. That's why he was so passionate about going everywhere to proclaim the gospel. If he thought everybody was saved just by being good and sincere, why would he risk his life? Why would he travel and get beat up? Because he believed that this is the only means that men and women can be saved.
Well, thanks for joining us for this special First Friday presentation of Connection Q&A with Skip Heitzig. And we'd like to invite you to tune in to Connection Q&A Saturday night. It's on from 8 till 9 p.m. Mountain Time when you visit connectionradio.org. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, Skip would like to remind you that the most important relationship we have is the one we have with Jesus Christ. And with your help, we can introduce people all over the world to that best relationship in the universe. Here's Skip with more.
Belize is a country that I've visited on several occasions and have seen good response to the gospel. This Central American nation is a country in focus this month for our global connectors. Here's how you can become part of this outreach.
In Central America, between Mexico and Guatemala, lies the country of Belize, known as British Honduras until independence in 1981. Belize is a fascinating nation with a rich history. The Mayans once ruled this land. Their temples, pyramids, and cities stand today as a silent witness of a violent empire that stretched from Mexico to Honduras. A mystery surrounds the sudden collapse of the Mayan civilization. Though Mayans were culturally dynamic and literate, theirs was a brutal and pagan religion that practiced human sacrifice. Today, Belize is a diverse nation emerging to establish its own identity. And the connection is broadcast throughout the country on radio and TV. In 2009, we want to expand the reach of the connection around the world. And you can be a part of this by becoming a global connector. With your monthly gift of $25, you'll receive a free monthly download of a connection resource, and you'll be helping us answer the call of the people who need to hear the message of the gospel. This month, the free Global Connector download is Preaching the Cross by Raul Ries.
And if you want to get to God, there is no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus. He is the one that died for the sins of the world.
Just pick up and call toll-free 1-800-273-8255.
1-800-922-1888. You can also sign up online at connectionradio.org.
So call our resource center here at The Connection, 1-800-922-1888, to find out more about becoming a global connector, or visit our website, connectionradio.org. You can also write us here at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And don't forget, for all things Connection, resources like the Jesus Boat documentary, CD copies of our daily teachings, and of course the weekly Q&A session with Pastor Skip, it's connectionradio.org. Saturday evenings from 8 till 9 p.m. Mountain Time, you can catch the live streaming of Connection Q&A as Pastor Skip answers your questions at connectionradio.org. So have a great weekend. And next time, Skip Heitzig resumes our series Through the Minor Prophets. So join us as we learn more about what these men revealed about our future.
Take the time to make the connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.